right, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to read verses 25 through 32 together. We'll begin section 4 tonight of our study on the ABCs of Psalm 119. The ABCs of Psalm 119. And again, let's read all 8 of these verses together. I'll read them out loud. You follow me silently. And let's jump into this thing. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I've declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, this is the fourth section of Psalm 119. Let me just a very, very, very brief review. Psalm 119 is divided into 22 sections of 8 verses each. Each section is a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. If you look at the right before verse 25 tonight, usually there's a little section break there. Most Bibles have it, not all. By the way, if you don't have it, it doesn't mean that you have a bad Bible. That was not put in there by God. That was just something that they have added. But this section, you see a little, looks like a backward, or looks like a number 7, and it says Daleth, all right? And that is the Hebrew letter. That's the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And if you read Hebrew, you'd find out that each one of these verses begins with a word that starts with the letter Daleth. That's neither here nor there. But I say that to say this. This is how the Jews taught their children to read. They would use these sections to teach them the alphabet, to teach them to read. But just so you know, 174 of the 176 verses mentions the word of God. There are 8 words for the word of God. You have the word law, the word testimonies, the word ways, the word precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and the word word. All of those 8 words are mentioned in 174 of the 176 verses. The whole purpose of teaching someone to read was to teach them the precepts, the principles, the judgments, the laws, the ways, and the Word of God. Amen? It was about learning how to get closer to God. By the way, that makes you a better citizen. That makes you a better person. And that makes you a better Christian. And that's what it was all about. Now, this section, Daleth, verses 25 through 32, is a, it's for those of us that at times we feel like we just don't think we can keep on going. It's one of those sections of the Bible that if you are here tonight, you'll mark your Bible and say, run back here when I'm having a bad day. This is one of those sections that will help you in a great way. God says in this section that, I want you to look at verse 25. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Now, when your soul is cleaving to the dust, you're not having a good day. When your attitude, when your direction is cleaving to the dust, when you feel like you're about dead, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. By the way, that's not in the Bible. But when you feel like you're about to go back to the dirt and you're waiting for them to throw it over your face and throw you in a box, amen, you're not having a good day. And that's how this section starts. And God shows us how that the Word of God can take you out of that attitude. I'm going to show you some things tonight that will help you. And we're going to look, by the way, We're going to let God's word tell us, not some commentary, not some man, not some psychologist. The best commentary on the word of God is the word of God. Can I tell you something? I don't read commentaries. I really don't. I don't read commentaries. I think I was given an old commentary. I don't even know what it is. I can't tell you that I've looked at it for more than about 5 minutes in the last 25 years I've had it. Seriously. Every once in a while, I just browse through it to try to get an idea about something, or I'll just look for a word and see if they have anything in there. But I promise you, I haven't spent 10 minutes in that book total in 25 years. I spend more than 10 minutes at a time in that book hundreds of times a week. Trust me. This book has a better commentary on it than anybody else's opinion anyway. Most commentaries were written by people that we wouldn't associate with anyway. You got time to write a commentary, you should be out on the streets knocking on doors telling sinners how to get out of hell. God's word's good enough, clear enough, and we're going to take him and let his words explain it to us. So, here we go. Number one, I'm going to give you 7 points tonight and no poem. All right, 7 points, no poem. Here we go. Number one, the Bible restores our life. The Bible restores our life. Look at verse 25, sorry. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. Now, the word quicken is the key word to this thing here. The word quicken literally means, it's the Hebrew word, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, just so you know, but it's the word kaya. It means to revive, to breathe life into, to make alive, or to preserve alive. It is the word inspire. The Bible says when God breathed into man the breath of life, he became a living soul. Watch this. When he became a living soul, we find out in the book of Hebrews, it talks about thy word is quick and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful. That doesn't mean it's fast. It means it gives life. It gives breath. It restores life. It's like giving CPR to somebody. CPR is pumping the chest and blowing air into the lungs in an effort to keep someone alive and bring them back to life. Can I tell you something? That's what you call CPR. That book right there, when you feel like you're about to die, that's the book that will revive you. I know. I hear people say it all the time. Oh, I'm just in such bad shape, preacher. I don't think I could ever read my Bible again. No, that's when you need it most. That's like saying, I feel like I'm dying. I'm just going to lay here and die. I'm not going to call the ambulance. I'm not going to go to the doctor. I'm just going to give in or roll over. That's not what it's about. The Word of God will breathe life back into your soul. Now, I want you to notice something. It gets the air moving. And it gets the heart pumping. Christians begin to die or they stay dead because they do not use the Word of God in their life. I watch Christians. They start losing their air. Jever, those of you that are about my age, you still think you're 20? You go to do something and found out you can still do it, but you last 10 seconds instead of 10 minutes. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You don't have the wind you used to have. You don't have the strength you used to have. Then after you get done, you need somebody giving you some wind because it's gone. Good night. Now, I'm gonna make some statements here. Hang on. Too many people If you don't use the King James Bible, you're using a dead Bible, and dead Bibles cannot bring you to life. Dead Bibles cannot bring you to life. Did you know a dead doctor can't help you? Say, well, my doctor died 5 years ago. I'm going to go to the graveyard and sit on top of his grave and maybe he can help me. That's what like reading the NIV is going to do for you. You might as well go to the cemetery and sit on the grave and ask for all the healing to come up through the grave. Say, why? Because a dead doctor can't help you and dead words can't help you. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on. When you don't read the Bible, guess what? That's like saying, I'm going to live, but I'm going to plug my nose and plug my mouth and I'm not going to ever breathe again because there's dirty air. How long are you going to last? I watch too many Christians, they quit breathing. They quit reading their Bible. They quit coming to church and hearing the Word of God preached to them, taught to them, and they start dying as a Christian because they're not getting any life put into their system. I'm going to make a statement. There's a lot of Christians sitting on their blessed assurance that hearing it, but they're not obeying it. Now watch this. I can sit here and say, Tony, breathe. Tony, breathe. Tony, breathe. Tony, breathe. But if he doesn't listen to me, what good does it do? He's hearing it, but if he's not doing it, he's going to turn purple and pass out before too long. Say why? Because you have to obey it, not just hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Wow. God says here that when you feel like you're dying, by the way, notice it says my soul, not my spirit. Man is body, soul, and spirit. Now watch this. Your spirit can never die once it's been reborn by the Word of God. Your body can die, but your soul can die off and on as you will. And your soul is your personality. It's that which allows you to communicate with others and with God through your spirit. When you walk around grumpy, mad, feel like you got a dead spirit, depressed, can I tell you what's happened? You don't have a dose of the Word of God in you. You're not breathing with your soul. You're not. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Who was it? Howard Jewell used to sing that song. Grumble in the morning, grumble in the afternoon, grumble in the evening too. Grumble at breakfast, grumble at lunchtime. I mean, just grumble the whole day through. He'd grumble, 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 grumble. You say, well, what is that? That's somebody with a sick soul. Man, I watch people with sick souls all the time. I walked into the Sheets gas station yesterday morning to get some coffee. My brother was in town, and he and I spent a few hours together, got over there early. Little lady in there that I know, I started talking to her, and I said, Granny, you're having a tough day. She said, yeah, they put my mom in the hospital. Now, Granny's in her 70s. I said, how old's your mama? She said, she's 92 or 94, something like that. She started telling me about her grandma, or her mom. I pulled out a picture of my grandma and said, look at her, she's 97. She said, I'm not sure my mama's going to make it that long. I said, but that's okay. I said, Granny, do you know for sure she's going to heaven? Oh, she's a Christian. I said, are you? She said, Pastor, I am. I said, good. I said, you've been telling me you're going to come to church. When you coming? I said, you're discouraged right now and you need my church. How many of my people come in here and pick you up? She said, an awful lot of them. She said, you know, it's like they don't have problems. I said, oh, they have problems. I said, but the Word of God will pick you up. She said, it's been a long time since I read it, Pastor. I'm sorry to say that. I said, well, get in it. It'll help you. I said, get in it. It'll help you. By the time I left, she was happy. She wasn't happy her mom was in the hospital, but she was happy I was there. I deal with that every day of my life, folks. Now, the soul is our attitude. The Bible will give life to your personality. Let me teach you something. Teenagers go through this spell of not knowing who they are, what they are, if they are, or they just know everything and nobody else knows anything. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And they kind of go through a spell with their attitude. Now, you say, well, some of you teenagers look at me like, oh, well, I never did that. Yes, you did. You just don't know it. We all went through it. Can I tell you something? The closer you are to the Word of God, the less severe that will be. I didn't say none of it you'll have. I said the less severe it will be. The Bible can change your personality. Brother Hawkins, you used to be a mean, old, stinking drunkard. Trust me, I know. I've heard the stories. Brother Hawkins was rough. There is no way this side of heaven that Mrs. Hawkins should have stayed with him. But when Brother Hawkins got saved, God changed his whole, well, most all of his personality. I mean, he was like Rover. He got saved all over. He got it. You say, what happened? The Word of God breathed life into a dying personality. And it changed him. And the Word of, by the way, it's not just at salvation that that can take place. It can take place at any time in your Christian life. Did you know that my personality is supposed to grow by the Word of God? You see, lost people have a dead personality. Did you ever go to a funeral home? Watch all the people. Man, they're out there smoking, cussing, drinking, angry, bitter, nasty. Some of them are just weeping all the time, don't even know how to express what they're saying. Now watch this. That's the way they live their life, because they're dead. Their whole personality is dead like that. Did you ever go to a saved person's funeral? I don't mean this the wrong way. If I died today, I hope my wife and maybe my kids would miss me. I really do. But let me say this. I don't want people being all shook up and wore out at my funeral and depressed. I'm up there playing tag with the angels by then, folks. Don't you cry for me. Man, I'm going to be happier than I've ever been. And I mean that. I talked to my dear friend, Brother Burton. He called me yesterday. He said, preacher, he said, I appreciate you and your church and all your prayers. He said, I'm just kind of getting back and catching up a little bit. He said, I've been horrible at getting back. I said, Brother Burton, I told you before, you never have to respond. Don't worry about it. You got a lot going on. He said, you know, I'm learning a lot about death. He said, when your mom dies, he said, all this stuff about heaven's real. He said, it really doesn't help. He said, hate to tell you that. He said, guess I'm not much of a Christian, huh? I said, it proves you're human. I said, Brother Burton, do you remember the first thing I told you? He said, Brother Bush, you're the only person that was honest with me. I said, what do you mean? He said, you told me heaven's a real place and it gets sweeter, even though that's not going to help right now. He said, I didn't catch what you meant by the right now. Till afterwards. He said, but you're dead on. I said, I know. I know. I said, and when everybody forgets about you, heaven's still real. I said, don't forget that. And we talked for a while. Can I tell you something? You laugh when I say preachers sometimes are put in positions. There's no way to win. You know, there's no way to help somebody when their loved one dies. You can't really, really bring total comfort. You can give them guidelines by which to follow, but you just got to get through the process. And people who don't have the Word of God have a dead soul. Now, I got to hurry up. I'm not going to take as much time on the rest of these. I hope. Look at verse 26. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Living the Bible requires us to die to the flesh. Living the Bible requires us to die to our flesh. Now, everybody look at me for just a second here. Let me help you before you have a major crisis in your life. Let me help you before the pressure of the crisis is on you. Everybody listen to this very carefully here. God says here, I want you to notice these words. I have declared my ways. In other words, God, I've told you what I want. I've told everybody what I want. I have declared it. Watch this. Thou heardest me, teach me thy ways. Teach me thy statutes. When the pressure's on, we get upset because somebody didn't treat us like we treated them when they were in the same situation. God, I told you that's what I wanted, but that may not be what God wanted you to have. Just because, and boy, I'm going to probably blow this, but let's say Mrs. Hawkins took Mrs. Barnes a meal when one of her loved ones died. Now, when Mrs. Hawkins' brother passed away, nobody took her a meal. She could get upset. Number one, she was in North Carolina. I wasn't going to drive that far. I'll send her a gift card, but we weren't going to be able to do that. So it doesn't matter how she treated Christine because the situation was totally different. But you can get hurt feelings because we get selfish when we get under pressure. Well, I did this to so-and-so. How come nobody did that for me? Everybody doing okay? And you get depressed over the fact that people are not treating you like you treat them. God says here, I've declared my ways, but you're supposed to learn his ways. You're supposed to learn his statutes. And you stay out of depression by following the word of God when you're not being treated like you would like to be treated as you thought somebody, by the way, And look at me here. Everything's okay. You've seen Brother Gus before, and he's not worth looking at, all right? But look this way for a second here. And just because you thought the very thing you did for somebody else was the greatest thing in all the world, they may not have even thought that it helped. They could have been kind, and of course they accepted it, and they were glad, but it may not have meant as much to them as it did to you. Everybody doing okay? My Bible says in the book of Job, miserable comforters are y'all. Any of you ladies lost a baby? You'll hear your preacher say, now there's going to be folks that tell you things. And they're going to mean well. Can I tell you something? Let it go in this ear and out the other. Accept the fact they said something. Don't worry about what they said. Because it will hurt. I've given that advice hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Same thing at the time of any of you ladies that have been expecting. If there is 100 women around, you get 125 opinions about what you should do while you're carrying that thing in the oven there. Everybody's got to give you their opinion. You know, and you're in that last stage or you're a couple days overdue and you get all the advice, you know, take castor oil, go on a long walk, take a bumpy ride, stand on your head and drink this and do this or whatever, you know, you can't get on your head, let alone stand on it, amen? Now, wait a minute. I've heard all those things. And not a one of them ever worked. When God's ready, it comes, amen? So, well, it worked for me. Okay, it worked for you. But did you ever take something that somebody else said worked and it didn't work for you? Yeah, buddy. Not everybody's the same. Boy, that's good stuff right there. As we grow in the Lord, we are to seek his will over our will. That's why the Bible says in John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. When you are in crunch time, it's time for Christ to increase and for you to decrease. You're not strong enough to increase. You need him to increase in your life. That means for him to increase, you empty yourself of your will and fill yourself with his will, which is the word of God. Now, to enjoy the Bible, we must let it change us, not us change it to what we want. You are to change your life to match the word of God, not change the word of God to match your life. You see, that's what the new Bible versions are. We've written Bibles to match man's life. We're not changing men to match God's word. Everybody doing okay? You're going to throw a fit here in a few weeks when I bring out a bunch of perverted Bibles and tear them in half and throw them all over the room. Mealy-mouthed preachers, sissy-britch preachers, guys got lace on their shorts. They get up and they change the word of God to match man versus getting up and preaching and hollering and screaming and spitting and saying, thus saith the Lord, not just saying, sin is bad, people. I mean naming it. Not just smoking's bad, but saying, Tony, smoking's bad. Quit it. No, he's not. Don't worry. He only dips a little bit. I know better, because if he's on the motorcycle dipping and he catch a breath of air, buddy, he gonna wreck, amen? Down the hatch it goes, and that is not healthy. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about these mealy mouths. I was listening to the radio the other day and happened to flip through a couple stations and hit the so-called Christian station and heard a fella say, I'm really going to lay down the law today. And I thought, this ought to be good. I didn't know a guy with a dress on could do it. Let me hear what he calls laying down the law. Folks, I don't mean this the wrong way, but Mrs. Eckerd teaches our 3 to 5 year olds tougher than that guy preached a hard sermon. I thought, if that's hard, good night. He better bring his casket if he ever showed up here, because he's going to have a heart attack. We're not supposed to contemporize our services. We're not supposed to take our suit coats off and take our tie off and wear one of these casual shirts and sit down on a chair and teach the word of God and be casual. Let's have a praise and worship service for a while and all hold hands and jiggle and shake and jive around and have the bouncing ball on the screen and everybody feel good about it and say, we had a service. We worshiped. Gag. That's called changing the word of God to match man, not changing man to match the word of God. And when you're in the crisis, quit making God convert to what you want. You convert to what he says in his book. I'm trying to help you. Number 3, I got to hurry. The Bible gives boldness and excitement. The Bible gives boldness and excitement. Look at verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. People talk about the Bible when they begin to understand the Bible. People begin to talk about the Bible when they begin to understand the Bible. Now watch this. That's what preaching's all about. How can I get so wound up all the time? Somebody was in my office, I think Brother Jim was in my office a little while ago. I said, good night, I got sermons everywhere. I pulled one out. I pulled another one out, put it on my desk. I stand up here. Brother Jim, I moved 5 more sermons to the back of my Bible while I was standing up here and had the 6th one that I was teaching tonight. I had 7 sermons in my Bible before I started church tonight. Can I tell you why I'm always wound up? Because I'm always in that book ready to teach it. So you just are so bold, preacher. I'm a coward. I really am. I don't like fighting. I don't like standing hard. But bless God, if it's in the book, it's coming out. You see, people who understand the Bible people who understand the Bible, these community preachers and sissy britches preachers are going to get mad at this statement, but on them. People who understand the Bible do not talk about the Bible to draw out questions. They proclaim the answer. Say, is a guy worth listening to? Is he questioning the authority of that book? And is he drawing questions in your mind? Or is he proclaiming answers to you? Well, Solomon says here, and I don't understand why God would even allow Solomon to say these. Solomon didn't say them, God did. He's already questioned God and God's word in a statement like that. Everybody doing okay? I'm not here to draw out questions about God. I'm here to proclaim the answers in the word of God. I can tell you somebody that knows the book when they get up and they proclaim the answer, not question the authority. Boldness in proclaiming answers. Boldness is proclaiming answers. Watch this. Cocky is questioning authority. I get, Brother Hawkins, it's hard to believe people would call me cocky. Hush. Oh, you're just one of those cocky preachers, aren't you? Nope, I'm confident and bold. Cocky's when you start saying, well, I don't know what some say, but in the originals, he never read the originals. Well, we don't have the originals, so this is my, and you'll just have to believe this because I said it. That's called cocky. Cocky is when you question authority. Bold is when you proclaim an answer. Let's see here. I'm trying to think. Tony, cocky is when you look at your dad and say, Dad, I know better than you. You don't know what you're talking about. Tony's a grown man. He's still scooting away, amen? His arm's longer than that. You can't scoot that far. Now, wait a minute. That's called cocky. But when you walk up to Dad and say, Dad, you know, I faced this at work. This is what I did, and I happened to have seen somebody do it the wrong way. I really don't think you want to do that. That's called boldness. See the difference in the attitude? One, you questioned his authority. The other, you claimed an answer and did it boldly. Not with a bad attitude. Boy, that's a good statement. And I will move on. Number four, I got to hurry. The Bible gives stability to your soul. The Bible gives stability to your soul. Look at verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Did you ever feel like you were melting? I'm not talking like the Wicked Witch on The Wizard of Oz. I'm melting. No, not like that. But did you ever feel like things were just so heavy you didn't think you were going to be able to go on? Did you ever have one of those? Last time I had x-rays at the dentist office, you know, they put those 2x4s in your jaw. And then they throw this lead coat over top of you. And it's like, okay, that is heavy. All right? Did you ever feel like life was about like one of those lead coats they throw on you for an x-ray? Yes, everything's getting heavy. And you're thinking, oh my, that's getting a little heavy. The Bible says that my soul melteth with heaviness. Now watch this. The Bible enables you to be strong enough to face the heat of the battle without melting. The Bible gives you the strength to face the heat of the battle without melting. Watch this. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. So when the heavy times come, don't run away from the word of God. Run to the word of God. When the heavy times come, don't run away from the preaching. Run to the preaching. and please don't get mad. I've been in church. I've been preaching a long time. Somebody's loved one will pass away, and I really, really, really do not understand this statement. Well, the hardest place to go after somebody dies is church. No, it's not. That would be the strongest place to go. That's where you get your strength. You ought to be not strong enough, feel like you're strong enough to handle it all. I understand that because of the heaviness. But may I say this, that's the place you're supposed to run to. Not run away from. I watch too many people, they run away from strength. And they go down and down and down and down and down. By the way, that's why I will refuse to use this pulpit to beat people over the head. You know, if we had a bad attendance, I'm not going to get up and preach on how wicked you are for having bad church attendance. Say, why? What good's that going to do you? It's my job to build you up, to get you so encouraged by the Word of God that you can face it no matter what comes your way. Boy, that's good stuff. I got to hurry here. By the way, I'm going to make a statement here. The world lives for recreation. Everybody look at me for a second. The world lives for play. The world lives for the weekend. So they don't have to go to work. Now watch this. Did you know why Christians are the hardest, should be the hardest working people in all the world? They're the strongest people in all the world. They have the Word of God to give them strength. I love to work. I love it. You know, I don't get up and say, oh, I gotta go to work today. I don't ever dread going to work. Matter of fact, if I take a day off, my wife doesn't want me to take the second one off because she dreads me being home again. Say why? Because I just love doing what I do. I'm strong when I do this. That's why so many people, when they go on vacation, do things sinful that they would never have thought about doing. Because they're out of their routine and out of their strength. And people do things in recreation and in vacation and in these down times that they would never consider doing. And then they look back and say, why did I do that? Because they weren't getting their strength from the Word of God. They were trying to recreate it in another way. Boy, that's good stuff. The Bible is a book of absolutes and principles by which to live. Circumstances do not change principles. Listen to this. Communism and socialism is built in the foundational principle on both of those is this. There are no absolutes. Communism and socialism are based off the premise, and Marxism, however you want to word it, they're all based off the one premise of this. There are no absolutes. By the way, that's why in America, they've destroyed or tried to destroy the authority of the Word of God. That's why in America, our court system and our politicians are tearing down the authority of the Constitution of the United States. Everybody doing okay? The Supreme Court has no business ruling on sodomite marriages. It's wrong, period, end of discussion. They have no right saying, well, it's the right of a woman that she can murder her baby. What happened to the right to the life of the child? Everybody doing okay? Okay, I'm having fun here. We have people humanizing Christianity. Oh, this is the 21st century. I don't think it's possible for two young people to make it to the altar and be pure and have never kissed and hugged and necked and pet and done all the other nasty things. Did you know that it was no easier 2,000 years ago than it is right now? Did you know it was no easier 4,000 years ago than it is right now? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't. It does not matter what age you live in. Did y'all hear that? When my daughter turned 13, my wife and I bought her a ring. It's called a purity ring. I said, girl, you can wear that as long as you stay pure. You keep your hands off and have everybody else keep their hands off you. Day you get married, you can give it back to me. Because by then, some toe-headed idiot will give you one, put it on your finger, take its place. But until then, you keep that on and you keep yourself pure. Everybody doing all right? Well, you're just so old-fashioned. Yeah, but I want my daughter hitting this platform pure. Everybody doing okay? By the way, I want her husband to hit the platform pure. And I don't know who he is yet. Good thing, I'd probably kill him. I mean, we've tried to humanize things. We don't need to be like the world to reach the world. I've got to hurry. Number 5, the Bible forces honesty. Let's read verses 29 through 30. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. We live in a society that does not know the truth if it hit them in the face. If Wikipedia says it, you believe it. If you found it on the internet, it's got to be true. If Hollywood says, by the way, Hollywood is nothing but a lie. Nothing but a lie. Video games are nothing but a lie. Fictional books are nothing but a lie. And I'm not against all fictional books, but you better read more truth than you do fiction, or you'll never know what the truth is. Social networking is a lie. Everybody doing okay? I'm having fun. These stupid dating websites are a lie. That's about like reading somebody's resume. You know, the only person that believes everything on their resume is the guy that wrote it. I'm having fun. You ought to see the looks I'm getting right now. People do not even tell themselves the truth. Okay, I love you. Everybody listen to this statement. Your 3-year-old probably is not as exceptional as you think they are. In 20 years, we'll find out. Your 3rd grader is not the second coming of Einstein, just so you know. And if he is, get him a comb and a razor. Sorry. Can I tell you something? You're not as good as you think you are. You're a sinner. Your child isn't as good as you think they are. They're a sinner. Letting God's laws, not man's laws, dictate your action causes to see where you're flawed. If you compare yourself to the world, you're pretty good. How about comparing yourself to Jesus once? We get so wrapped up in comparing ourselves among ourselves that we quit looking up at Jesus Christ. See, the law was given to show you where you fell short. Everybody doing all right? It was your schoolmaster. Salvation is not by works, because then we'd have people bragging about how good they are. And they wouldn't be saved then, because their bragging would cause them to be sinners. God said there's no way you could be that good. You'd have to be as good as Jesus Christ. Right. Guess what? You all fall short and so do I. God's ways, his Bible, is not changed by circumstances. Did you know nothing in that book changes because of what happens in your life? I'm going to be very, very blunt, bold, and probably a bit rough right here. Did you know that that book did not change Brother Hawkins, Mrs. Hawkins, when Dr. Jack Hiles died? Not one word, not one jot, not one tittle changed because Jack Hiles left this earth in death. Then why are people changing, blaming it on his death? Everybody doing okay? The Bible didn't change no matter what the circumstance. Boy, that's a good statement. I got to hurry here. Number 6, somebody shoot that clock. Number 6, the Bible does not bring shame. The lack of Bible brings shame. The Bible does not bring shame. the lack of Bible brings shame. Look at verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me. Going to the altar, young people, as a virgin is not a shame. Going to the altar and not being a virgin is a shame. It is not the presence of truth that is a shame. It is the absence of truth that is a shame. Did you know living your whole life and never drinking alcohol is not a shame? But being a drunkard is a shame? Do you know, any of the sins you want to talk about, not doing them is nothing to be ashamed of? Peer pressure. Oh, you got to try this. Do you know what peer pressure is? Weaklings trying to make you weaker. I say, let's put the pressure on the punks. Taking your Bible to school, if you go to a public school, is strength, not weakness. Oh, you can't do that. That's illegal. No, it's not. I did it. You say, yeah, but you're old. I know I'm old, but it's still not illegal. Boy, that's a good statement. Any church or Christian who criticizes you for living the Bible too closely, they're the ones that are shameful, not you. Living God's way is not shameful. Recently, in the last 6 months, somebody visited our church a couple times. They said, man, you preach soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. Is that all you preach about? I said, no, but getting people saved is awfully important. They said, well, you just put too much emphasis on that. I said, how can you put too much emphasis on people dying and going to hell? I said, are you saved? And they said, there you go again. I said, well, are you? I said, if you want to criticize me for sticking too close to soul winning, go for it, dude. I said, I have no problem with it. But when I get to heaven, guess what? I'd rather be labeled from God saying you were too zealous for that than not being zealous enough. Boy, that's a good statement. Well, your church is just too straight. Thank you. I'll take the compliment. Did you know that the NIV people don't attack the RSV people? That's perversion Bibles. Did you know that the New King James Bible people don't attack the New World Translation? But they all attack the King James Bible? Now listen to this statement. They say it's a shame to have such an old book, but they're the dummies that have to have it rewritten so they can understand it better. They call me shallow for believing the King James, but they have to rewrite it so they can understand it and take out words, take out verses, change doctrine and everything else and call Satan God. Living the Word of God is not shameful. Not living the Word of God is. Okay, and I'll finish with this and I'll really hurry. Discouragement and stress does not have to be a way of life. Discouragement and stress does not have to be a way of life. Look at verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Watch this. Run the Bible route and outrun or chase discouragement away. Did you know? Connor, come on up here for a second. I'm going to use you. Everybody can see you in that bright color there. This is discouragement. You can see why. Face that ugly's got to be discouraging, doesn't it? Now, wait a minute. Did you know that most people think that, why don't you walk over that way and pretend like you're following me and chasing me. Don't run real fast yet. Most of you feel like this is discouragement. And follow me. And you feel like discouragement's always behind you, chasing you. And you got to outrun it and outlast it. You ready? I'm going to chase you. Don't let me catch you. When you're living the Bible, it chases. I woke you up, didn't I? You can have a seat again, Connor. Guess what? When you're living the Bible, you're chasing discouragement away. It's not supposed to be following you. You're supposed to be chasing it away. Well, I guess it's always seeming to follow me. You're going the wrong direction, ding dong. Go to the Word of God and chase it out of your life. Don't you ever get discouraged? Yes, but I go to the Bible and I chase it right out of my life. Stress and discomfort are not as fast as the Word of God. The Bible allows joy and strength to overrun and outlast and outpace discouragement. The Bible opens your heart to more truth so that you can be lighter and faster. God gives more truth as you obey the truth you know. Well, I just read the Bible. Until you start obeying it, it's not going to make as much sense. Why should he give you more truth to understand if you're not using the truth you already know? And he says, when you start obeying what I taught you the first time, then we'll go to the next level. Behind every truth you obey is a new truth. And you open up another truth by obeying that truth. And each and every truth you begin to obey, God opens up more doors, and that gets you excited and chases discouragement out of your life. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken me. Come alive. Breathe life into. CPR. Can I tell you something? I'm for helping every person. Some of you let discouragement rule your life. Some of you let stress and circumstances overwhelm you. How you doing? Oh, under the circumstances, I guess it's not too bad. Well, get out from underneath them and get on top of them. What are you doing under the stupid circumstances? Principle overrides circumstance. Every time. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I have so much more to give you. The Bible is so rich. It is so exciting. You do not have to live discouraged.